Hello, Disruptive Chef World. I'm Christian, your host, NBL Live, and I'm really excited to bring my co-host, Chef Lawrence. And today we are on point three or four of our journey to go from chef to entrepreneur. Let's get started with that. Hello again, NBL Live. I'm Christian, the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. I'm really excited to have my co-host, Chef Lawrence, with me. Chef Lawrence, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I'm just excited to be a disruptor along with you.
So we are on three or four. Can you believe it? We are on three or four already. So on the last one, we talked about that building that like-minded community. And I really enjoyed that conversation and we got some really good feedback from the listeners. By the way, our listeners, if you haven't done so, make sure you like this episode, share it with a friend, share it with somebody you feel who needs it. And sometimes it could be even your boss. Make sure your boss hears about this too. And if you haven't done so, please join the disruptivechef.club, which is our private community, where you get access to Chef Lawrence and I. You can ask some questions and we're going to give you the latest and greatest before it goes out into the marketplace. So with that, Chef Lawrence, welcome for being here today. I turn it over to you. Today, we're talking about what?
We are talking about the creation of your circle, having shared ambitions with other people. And when you brought this topic up to me, it kind of reminded me of watching, if you've ever seen like a nature channel, or if you've been to a zoo, you always see how like the African gazelles, all when they lay on the ground, they lie in a circle and they're all looking in different directions. And it's like they all have a shared ambition to look out for predators so that they can survive. And that's kind of like exactly what we do as disruptors, is that we want to align with people in our herd so that we're looking in different directions, watching each other's back. It's kind of like that same analogy.
So we call it competitive. You call them predators. So yeah, it kind of, I like it. I like it.
Predators could be like in the marketplace, but also predators could be just stinking thinking, as Zig Ziglar would always say. It's just, you know, we all kind of get in a trap of thinking certain things based on our own belief systems and habits. And when you have a herd of people looking out for you, we can help catch each other when we're going down that path of stinking thinking. And so that's what the power of having a herd, a power of people that have shared ambitions around you.
I love that. And it's so true. And if we have some new listeners, so this is episode three or four, Chef Lawrence and I gotten together. We want to assist with the whole journey from chef to entrepreneur and how successful we get in there. So if you came across this for your first time, make sure you go back and look at episode one and two. This is three or four. So let's get started. So Chef, what I'm hearing you saying about the herd and everything. So as a entrepreneur, chef going to entrepreneur, I would almost translate this that we need to build a unified vision. Is that's where you feel we need to start by having the shared ambition?
Yeah, I mean, you want to align your people to have the same sort of missions in life as you do, because then you're all learning. You're all learning together, and I think that's the power of being surrounded with like-minded people and people that have those shared ambitions. Because if your ambition doesn't align with mine, then you and I would not be doing this podcast.
Yeah,
that's a good example, because you and I have the shared ambition of using our experiences and our knowledge to help other people become disruptors in their own life, to kind of get unstuck and take that first step forward. So it's, I think you and I are a good example of why we're here.
Yeah, I love that. And for anybody currently in a position that you are a sous chef, an executive chef, a corporate chef, or anybody with people under you, I absolutely love what you just said, but having that unified vision, for me, I use a personal example. In my career, one of my responsibility was to, when our main company acquired new companies, to integrating into our culture. And having that unified vision was step number one. We did all the time. I wanted them to know that their positions are secure. I wanted them to know that they will still do what they ever have done and the way they have done and provide great service to our clients. I also wanted to make them understand that their daily tasks become part of the vision of their unit. And what they're doing as a unit gets part of a cohort of units. We call it, you know, regions, and that the region's cohort gets back to the company as a whole. So for me, that was very important that we talked about that, because I wanted them to realize that the daily actions are being recognized locally and the joint actions of the group were recognized nationally. And I wanted them to know that they're part of something bigger. And I wanted to share this vision and break it down really simply, because sometimes what I have learned through this, the teams which usually did acquisitions are usually lawyers or anything of that sort. And for me, it was important to kind of break it down and make it really actionable for the chefs.
Because your sound is coming a little muffled, Chef. I'm sorry.
Oh, that it was important for us that we kind of shared and help them break it down and make it actionable steps out of it. Because it's great when you hear it from a lawyer, you know, and sometimes I didn't understand what they were saying, but I want to make sure the people actually doing the work every day knew that they were part of a greater vision. And we call it that unified mission and vision, that they knew their daily tasks were recognized, you know, regionally and then globally.
That's paramount. I mean, everyone, especially like, I haven't really been in that situation where you just described, Chef, you know, you being a leader after acquiring another company and bringing other people that were aligned with maybe a different mission, a different set of values, but you need to bring them into the fold, into the herd, right? It's like another herd of gazelles, finding another herd of gazelles and bringing them all in. So, I mean, that's a great experience, and probably you probably learned a lot of life lessons by being in a leadership role like that. I never had that experience, but it's got to be a life changing experience.
Yeah, but for me, I think it kind of brings me into point number two, which is fostering collaboration. And you are extremely good in fostering collaboration, especially in your position. So if it's easy, if the vision is clear, and there's clarity around that, it's easy to find collaboration. What is your advice to anybody trying to make that pivot from chef to entrepreneur around fostering collaboration?
Well, I think one thing to foster collaboration is to show the other people that you want to collaborate that you're human, that you're not afraid to ask for help. I mean, I have been around other people that want a collaboration, but they come in with this sense of like, I kind of already know it all, but I'm going to kind of tell you what I want you to tell me. And that doesn't really foster collaboration. You kind of have to come in vulnerable. Yeah. You've got to come in kind of like with your guard down saying, hey, I need help in these areas. Who has skills? Here are my strengths, but here are my weaknesses. And who has the strengths to help bolster my weaknesses and kind of come in as a person? I think people resonate when you're coming in for asking for help, because we're all asking for help in different parts of our life. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what makes us people.
Agreed. I also goes back and you talked briefly about that earlier. It's kind of reinforcing the positive ethos of whatever the project you have on, and that there needs to be that increased innovation and problem solving capabilities as a group. And you can only do this as a herd, you're using your terms, within having the collaboration.
And I think another thing you said, you just mentioned problem solving. And I think this is an important part of collaboration, is that when you bring an issue or a problem to the table, you have to be able to put that problem and that issue to the side and everybody be able to talk about it as its own entity and not take any sort of ownership over what that problem is, so that other people, when they bring in their ideas of how to resolve that issue, if you're the one that brought the issue to the table, you don't want to attach yourself to it so that you feel like your feelings are being hurt, or that you may be feeling like you're being attacked. You have to be able to put it to the side and be able to discuss it as its own group. It's kind of like when you're a chef, when you plate up a piece, when you plate up some food, you kind of put that plating to the side, and then you kind of bring in your other chefs and you look at it as a group and you discuss, okay, what can we do to make the presentation better? What can we do to enhance the flavors? How can we you kind of discuss it as its own entity, as its own product. So it's kind of the same thing when you bring a product or an issue to the table, to the group, is to be able to look at it as its own thing and be able to not attach yourself to it.
Love that. And for me, that really goes into point number three, is around those assigning of leadership roles. And again, I want to kind of bring it back to you as you made that pivot from chef to entrepreneur in your current position. You know, we're reinforcing, we all collectively, we can problem solve, we can innovate better. So I have the clarity. I'm really collaborating with my team. And now we kind of get into assigning those leadership roles. And, you know, it's really important that, you know, any of those leaders are accessible and responsive to the people they are responsible for. How are you managing this in your position? Because you made a total pivot on what you can do today, which is totally different than doing culinary.
Yeah, that's a great example. It reminds me, like, very early on when I took this position, and actually I remember I got this from you, from the mastermind group. It was titled Being a Knowledge Leader, because there's many different types of leaders out there. But I read that article about being a knowledge leader, and that's the reason why I was hired, because I had knowledge that this company, Bronzery, mm-hmm. did not have. And I'm still in that situation where I have the knowledge still that this company needs to grow. And that's what I really gravitate towards, is like, I am the knowledge leader in these areas, and I'm going to continue making myself relevant and be an expert. But at the same time, being part of my leadership, is that I want to educate other people in my company what I know. They may not become the expert in what I know, and they don't have an interest to mm-hmm. become that. But I want them to have a basic understanding of what it is that I'm doing, so that they can contribute their ideas back to me, and they feel like they have ownership in the decisions that I'm making regarding the company.
I hope that answers it. Yeah, I nothing more to say, because you hit it spot on the head. Because if there's that unified vision, we have that fostering of collaboration, we have the assignment of different leadership roles. Absolutely the right way moving forward. And then if you bring all of these together, I for me, number four in a way is, if we have all of that, so we ready to overcome challenges, you know, because as you start something new, there is going to be resistance to change. There is going to be lack of resources. There might be some shared hindrance around ambition. And then finally, I think there's miscommunication. Because, you know, that's about to happen if you do something totally new. Talk to me a little bit about some practical solution to any of those challenges, you know, maybe even training programs, clear communication policies, and maybe even inadequate distribution of resources.
Yeah, I think the number one thing is just communication. I mean, communication mm-hmm. results a lot of things in a company. And there are leaders in companies that feel like they're just going to go ahead and make decisions and not share the reasons behind it. And then people get frustrated and they feel like they're not aligned with the vision because they're affected by that decision and they weren't a part of it, or even just understand why that decision was made. So I make it a point, like at the end of the month, I mean, I give a Loom video of what was the end of the month results for sales and why were certain things effective? Why things did not improve? What are we going to do differently? And then people can watch the video and then they can contribute their feedback. And then I show for the following month, I'll show like how we took their feedback and how we implemented it or why we didn't implement it. So again, people feel like they're being heard. People want to feel like they're being heard. And when they see that they're being heard, regardless if their ideas are being implemented or not, then they're going to take more ownership and they're going to want to be more aligned with what the vision is behind you and the company. So communication is like the number one thing that encompasses it all. It resolves everything.
I so agree, because for us, when we had one of those acquisition and we had those meetings to bring different cultures, different mm-hmm. views, and even different policies together, if there was an issue which was employee related or process related, when you peeled it all back, it stemmed from miscommunication. and not asking the right questions, not giving the proper feedback, and don't give the issue and whatever you want to call it, the challenge, the attention it deserves. Sometimes we just try and just overskip it because just it's not a big thing for me. It doesn't mean it's not a big thing for the employee. So, and I think you really, really good at that.
Well, I think another thing as you were talking, Sean, I'm sorry, it's a two-way street though, because we're talking about collaboration. So you have a leadership or you have someone that's communicating an idea, but you have to be an active listener as well. I mean, you have to, if you have any questions to clarify on what someone's communicating to you, you owe it to that person to ask those questions so that the clarification can be delivered to you. And at the same time, by that person being questioned and giving them the ability to clarify their points, it also helps them refine their idea and get clarity on what it is that they're sharing with you as well. So it's not just sitting there communicating, but it's also listening and just digesting it. And then also kind of reiterating back to the person, this is how I understand what you're saying. So there's chances to clarify and key points.
I love that. And then I want to actually level it up even more than that after that, because I think what VA as a culture need to do better is celebrate small successes. And sometimes, again, I go back, if there is a challenge and we overcome it, let's celebrate the outcome. Let's celebrate that small success. And then, you know, we need to actively implement initiatives that we kind of do that. And, you know, our industry is very hectic. And time is of the essence. And sometimes we just don't give it enough, time or attention to celebrate those little successes, because those little successes are morale boosters. Not only they are morale boosters, they really reinforce the value of what people are working towards. And that's for anybody. And you know, for me currently here with our organization, I use the opportunity when we eat family meal together to kind of celebrate, hey, what did we get done? Hey, this was amazing. This rollout was great. Or, I really love the direction you took with this message. Because we all feel like, hey, we're part of this common goal to move forward collectively as a group.
I like how you do that. I'm the first to admit that I am guilty of not taking time to celebrate a lot of the small successes that I've had in my life. It is actually something that I've been working on more since the beginning of this year. But I like how you're a good example of that, Shep, because when we were doing our one-on-one mentorship over the last year and a half, you would always end it by asking me, what are you grateful for? And I always say, well, I'm grateful for other things in my life that other people are doing. And you're like, no, what are you grateful for, the things that you've accomplished? And that's when it really started making me think, like, why do I not take time to celebrate the small successes? So if you are in a group and you're collaborating with others, you may be in this mastermind group, or you may be in another mastermind group with someone else, and you shared something that someone else picked up on and used in their life, and it made them a little bit more successful. Well, you as a person, you don't need to pound your chest and say, hey, look what I just did. I'm the one that pointed that out. No, you internalize it and just share the fact that, you know what, I do have something of value that other people want to hear. And that's awesome. It makes you feel great as a person. And then, like you just said, Shep, that small little success is going to make you want to contribute more. It's going to make you want to be more a part of people's lives and make them become more successful. And that's all I got to say on that.
It's so true. Because it kind of reinforces, because celebrating those little successes reinforce that we empower employees' growth. We want to make sure that, you know, they can develop in the positions they're in, that they feel they have a mentorship from the owner or from the manager, whatever they do. And it also an opportunity to do some training. And also it is an opportunity to do some hands-on projects, depends on which side of the industry you're in. And I love that you kind of recognize that something, because I think it's I also had to learn that. And it's a conscious decision to make those little things. And because we as chefs are not really good in getting compliments. We kind of say, okay, yeah, it's just about what I do. But knocking it out of the park at an event, knocking it out of the park with a new employee training, it's huge. And especially for the person you're bringing into the fold and celebrating little successes, I honestly feel not just closer to that employee growth, it helps you kind of reinforce the other things we talked about, from the shared vision to collaboration to problem solving, for the right leadership, because they feel like, you know, they have it all together. Mm-hmm. And for me, having those little successes and celebrate those, for me, was a huge milestone to learn it. And it's not something I see in kitchen, because it's not something we were taught in culinary school.
Yeah. Well, as you were saying that, it's like, I just remember some of the past like catering events I would do. And really, what is your ultimate goal? You want to be able to deliver a service to where when you leave, the customers are totally happy. Well, there's a lot of moving parts, especially when you're doing remote catering, that mm-hmm. have to be done correctly in order to make that happen. I mean, you're setting up workstations on folding tables and you're outside of your kitchen. So there are small successes in just doing that, to be able to keep your station clean and organized during the rush of an offsite catering event. Well, that's a small success that should be celebrated, mm-hmm. especially as a chef going around and during the event, pointing out to your other sous chefs or your other line workers saying, hey, good job on keeping your station organized, because for the next hour, we're going to be slammed with, you know, we got to get out 200 plates. And so we have to stay organized the entire time, and we don't have all of our equipment set up like we do in our kitchen. We have to kind of set up our own little portable kitchen, and that's going to take a lot of work. And there's little small things that we have to do to make sure that we can get this thing done correctly. And those are small successes that need to be celebrated, not after the event, but during the event, so that people feel motivated and more energized to continue, so that you do reach that ultimate goal, which is when you pack everything up in your cargo van, the clients are handing you a big fat tip check or an envelope of money saying, good job.
And I love that. And even if we pivot to the other side, if you're a solopreneur, you're starting your own side hustle, or you want to do something on the side, what we're talking about works for all of that. So for an example, if you start a little side hustle, building that first website, celebrate it. If you put out your first funnel, celebrate it. If you put out your first ad, or if you put out your first social media post, celebrate it. Because that's a huge step forward. And I mean,
regardless what the results are, mm-hmm. just the fact that you got it out there is what you need to do just to get results. So yeah, I agree.
And also, the reason we want to talk about this is it's really important for me. When I go out there and talk to chefs, and I just had the opportunity on Monday to be part of a chef's organization dinner, 182 chefs there, and having conversations with chefs, it kind of reinforces to me that chefs have so many transferable skills. And deep down, they feel all they are meant to do or can do is be in the culinary space. And this, I must have said it 25 times. People say, Christian, how did you make that pivot? I said, it doesn't really matter what you do. You need to start doing. Process progress over perfection. Do something, because what I do today is totally different than we started, you know, 10 years ago. So for me, also around, you know, celebrating those successes, leadership, it goes into self-leadership, celebrating my own successes and the growth. If I learn how to code a website, or if I put out my first offer, if I close my first client, if it's a side hustle or business, it should be celebrated. And for me, we even doing it here in the office, we yesterday got a new partnership agreement where somebody made us an offer to partner with them. I shared this with my team. I said, listen, this is what they offered us. What do you guys think? And should we go on it? Should we push back? How does it work? Because I want my team know it all the time. When I'm on a call, what I do, they know what we're working towards. And for me, I think that's really important. And spending those time with the chefs, it kind of reignite the passion why we do what we do. Because out of the 182, 60 of them said, I'm not sure how much longer I can do this. The industry is really hurting. You know, I think my job might be in jeopardy. You know what? I need to put one of my kids through college, or I want to have a new car. a side hustle can do that. And with very little time, and with our mastermind groups, we're talking about it all the time. If you do something which comes naturally to you, within 3 to 5 hours a week, giving whatever your project is, attention and be focused and clear on it, it's very easy to make $500,000 on the side. What would a $500,000 a month do for you? Would it help you get your child through college? Would it help you or pay for a car payment? Or would it pay for a nice family dinner? Or would it let it accumulate and become your family's vacation? And you know what? It didn't cost you any money because it was done by the side hustle. What is your thought around that?
Well, I think on the same thing is, the money is, I think you would agree with me, the money, I think, is a secondary benefit. The fact of the matter is that your side hustle is aligned with a passion that you have within you, and you're allowing that passion to just be, you're just allowing it to explode. You're just allowing it to just be its own entity, and you're being a part of it, and you're just allowing it to, it's kind of like when you, I'm using my animal analogies, but it's like when you have a horse and you just let the horse out of the corral, let it run in the pastures. It's the same thing. Your side hustle is allowing your passion to just roam free. And the beautiful thing about a side hustle is that you can just let it take whatever direction it wants to go in. I mean, it's like, here we go. I'm gonna use another analogy. When you're fishing, sometimes you just got to let the fish go wherever it wants to go on the fishing line instead of trying to fight it. And that's the thing about a side hustle. You just let that fish just go wherever, and eventually you reel it right into your net. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about a side hustle, because there's no like, some, you can put a time frame on it, a deadline if you want, but sometimes you don't have to. You can just say, hey, I'm going to let this thing go for a year and I'll see where I'm at. And if I made X amount of dollars, I'm happy. But the fact of the matter is, I allowed a piece of me to just go out and develop and manifest into something that I owe it to myself to see where this can go. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a side hustle.
I love that. And then, so for our listeners, hang on, because we have one really critical point we want to share. But before we share that last point, which makes basically, we kind of bring it full circle for today's conversation. I encourage you to get to the disruptivechef.club, which is our private community. You get access to our team. You get access to Chef Lawrence and I. You can ask us questions, and we give you the latest and greatest of all our new stuff as a test drive. You become our boardroom. I think that's the right way to say it, because we will run things by you and we kind of bring you into the fold, because we want to make sure that the products we put out here is value to the listeners. Not just only value to the listener, something it's actionable. Because the reason Chef Lawrence and I do this is really simple. And we break it down the way we break it down. Because when you're done after the day, you could take two or three things we just talked about and implement it, and you see instant results. Getting clear on how you communicate with your people. If you bring them into your fold and have shared values, if you have shared collaboration, if you provide leadership, if you provide feedback and celebrate successes, it doesn't really matter what you do, you will be successful. And the reason we're doing this is because we want to make it as easy as possible for you, not just have a whole different career and a whole different direction of your life. We want you to have the impact we know you deserve to make in the industry. So if you haven't done so, join our disruptivechef.club community. We would love to have you and share some cool new things. So with that, my last point is, so if we do all of this, you know what the great thing is about this? You have sustained momentum. And then all you need to do, if you don't have the momentum that you would like to have, or feel like you want more, you start at the beginning. I redefine what I do. I redefine my vision. I redefine my values. I re-enroll the collaboration of the people, or even sometimes at myself. Because as I started out this for the first 5-6 years, I was by myself. I was a solopreneur. I wrote myself notes at night, and when I came in the next day, I executed on them, because I was by myself. Mm-hmm. And for me, and that's really the last point, it's that sustained momentum, the cool thing is, and you said it, and I want to kind of drive that point home, it's not about the money. It's absolutely not about the money. If you do that side hustle and it makes you no money, it doesn't matter, because in order for you to get clear, enroll people, share the values, step up as a leader, kind of overcome challenges, celebrate success, and grow. The coolest thing about it is there's no other way than up, because you will get better in what you do. And I use the same example. The reason we ask chefs to write a book, and we want them to write a book, we have this process. If you're new to this channel, we have a publishing company where we teach chefs how to write a book in 8 weeks or less. And the reason we broke it down the way we did is if you will do this, it doesn't matter if you ever sell a single copy of your book, but what it will do, it will make you a better professional, it make you a better person, because the person you become following these things is more important than the money, because the money will come. Because if you follow these things, we talked about it, you will see success. And we said this in one of our very first podcasts. The road to success and the road to failure are the very same road. The reason people on that road go to the road of failure, because they're doing something and said, oh, I gave it a shot. You know, I put out 2 posts and I didn't have 6,000 likes, so I'm not really good at it. Or I did my first video and only one person liked it, and that was my grandma. And she probably didn't even listen to the whole thing and says, you know what, this is not for me, and I give up. Or I want to write this book, or I want to do this side hustle. You know what, I put in 18 hours over the last year and I didn't make $1 million. I'm not good at this, and they give up. So for me, the road to success and the road to failure, the same road. The only difference is you never get to success because you jumped off too early. So you keep refining. So what we're teaching you today and share with you today, if it doesn't work, whatever you do, start in the beginning, redefine, revalue. Go get your people enrolled. And sometimes you need to be the person saying, hey, I need to bring somebody else into the fold. I need somebody else to help me. I need somebody who can help me not just get better in what I do. I need somebody who can help me shorten my learning curve. And sometimes it's as simple as that. Sometimes you just need somebody who sees in you what you don't seeing yourself. So for me, that's all I have on my high horse around sustaining your momentum. What is your thoughts around it, Jeff Lawrence?
Well, I'm glad you used the word horse. So I'm not the only one using animal analogies today.
I wanted to do camel, but I'm not sure if it was appropriate.
I think what you just said, you know, how you summed up the 3 points, you know, getting realigned, your revalues, bringing people in, communicating your vision, that alone disrupts your life. That just doing those 3 things, you're gonna automatically see results, because you're realigned. You actually just fed yourself new sense of purpose, a new sense of momentum, and you just disrupt your old pattern of thinking. And then all of a sudden, who knows where it goes from there? And like you said, release yourself from the results, let the results come to you. Because once you start trying to control the results, then you're going to get the results based on probably old bad thinking and old bad habits you have in the past. That's not what we're doing here. We're trying to just disrupt our thinking to allow new results to come, and then just let it go from there. And that's the beautiful thing about being a disruptor in your own life, seeing where it goes.
I absolutely love that. And it's as simple as that. Start something so you get clear on what you want, don't want to do. Yep. If you don't pivot let me steal an idea I learned from Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins said, how much time do you give the average child to until it walks? And you don't try it once. Oh, we tried to have him walk. You know what? He's just not a walker. You know what? People will make that kid walk until the kid walks. You know what the great thing is? There's so many people walking, so a lot of people doing it, you know? And it's the same mentality you can pivot into your business. If it doesn't work, try something else. Repivot, try something else. Get clear of what you want. Ask somebody, hey, does this make sense to you? You know, if you need help, enroll people into, start, become part of a mastermind group. But don't give up, because if, you know, going back to the idea of a child, you know what? I have tried it 6 times and my kid is not walking. You know, my kid is just not a walker, you know? No, you will say, I will do whatever I have to for my kid to walk. And if you take that very simple mindset, anything you do is going to be a hit. What is your thought on that?
I think, well, everyone's going to end up walking, right? So it's the same thing. We're all going to end up succeeding if you just have that goal in mind. So it's just, you can use that same analogy. You're eventually, as a human being, going to end up walking. It's just no one's crawling around the streets on all fours. And it's the same thing. Everyone's going to succeed if you just know where you want to go.
We won't let people crawl around, because that's why we do what we do. And today, I hope you found this conversation valuable. Today, we talk about series of four conversations, what it takes to get from chef to entrepreneur. And for me, this is the most powerful question or conversation we had so far, because these little things work with anything. So if I feel I need to strengthen my relationship at home, how about, hey, I defined what I want to do. I get clear on why we want to do this. I execute and enroll my partner into this conversation. We celebrate successes. We overcome obstacles together, and we keep doing this until we succeed. This little few life lessons we just shared today work for everything. It works if you teach people how to play ball or teach them a game, which, by the way, this guy's really good at. If you want to pivot into a new career, if you want to upscale and get to the next level in your career, and it works if you want to have a side hustle, and it works when your current business is struggling. And sometimes we beaten ourselves up because it's not successful, and sometimes it's not. My first four businesses failed, and it's okay, because I will pivot and try something else. And Chef Lawrence, you with me long enough. What you and I did 2 years ago is totally different than what we do today. So we got to pivot until we get to where we need to go, because our goal collectively is here to assist chefs in thinking different and disrupt the actions they take. Because in order for circumstances to get better, you need to get better. And this is what we're doing here with our series From Chef to Entrepreneur. Any final thoughts, Chef Lawrence?
You said it all perfectly. I agree with you 100%. I just invite anyone who wants to just do a little small disruption in their life and try something new, join our mastermind group. We're here to help you. Yep.
I absolutely love that. So with that, I want to say thank you for being here today. Thanks for listening. Chef Lawrence, thanks for the gift of your time. If you haven't done so, make sure you like this episode, share it, gives us a thumbs up. It helps us to get more eyes on this. Share it with a friend, share it with somebody who needs it, or save it for yourself. You can watch it on a later time. And on the weekends, if you have nothing to do, go to disruptivechef.club or become part of our private community. We would love to have you. So with that, until next time, remember to disrupt the kitchen, fire up your career, and stay hungry for change. Be a Christian and Lawrence, your co-host for the Entrepreneur Chef Show. We are signing off today. We see you next week on 4 on 4. Until then, make sure, be the change, be the challenge, and be the world, the chef who sets the world on fire. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for checking in and listening in today.